Our biology is designed to keep us alive. It's not designed to keep us thriving. It's designed to make sure that we do not die. So if we detect any sense of fear, danger, anything, it will help us zero in on that. And so flipping that around and understanding that so that you can focus on the upside rather than letting it stop your evolution as a human and you working towards the goals and the vision that you have for your life because you're trapped in this fear and just staying stagnant. Giving yourself the opportunity to actually move forward and become anti-fragile and use the things that are happening to you to move towards the bigger vision for your life.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to Dash.Insider, the auditory epicenter for passionate property investors seeking a life of freedom, choice, and abundance. And on today's episode, we are going to be tackling just that. I'm joined by Gabby Billing. Hey, Gabby, how are you?
Hi, I'm great.
That's great. It's great to have you here. And on today's episode, we're going to be doing things a little bit different, which I'm really, really excited about. And I know that, Gabby, you're excited about it too, or at least I have.
Of course. Yes.
So on this show, if you've been listening to the show for a while, you would know that we often talk about investing in real estate. That's because that's primarily what we help people do, is to become successful in investing in real estate. But let's really just think that through, because investing in real estate, that's not the outcome. That's not the goal. Really, what people want is what's on the other side of investing in real estate. Nobody cares about the houses. They care about what the houses can give them, right? And so the thinking through this is then, in order to live the life that you want when you get to that destination, you need to become the kind of person who's going to be happy at that destination. And so a lot of people spend a lot of their time focusing on the progressing themselves financially, but don't necessarily take the time to consider how do they need to grow as an individual so that when they arrive, which, you know, if you're working with Dashdot, you will arrive, so that when you arrive, you get to a place where it's like you are the kind of person that is ready, willing, and able to embrace that lifestyle. Because I've heard lots of stories of people who become financially successful and just been absolutely miserable. And you don't want to do that. So in order to do that, we need to not just focus on, you know, financial prosperity, but we need to focus on personal development and emotional prosperity as well. So that's the preamble. Gabby, what do you think about that?
Yeah, awesome. I'm obviously excited about this because I feel like if anyone's listening and you used to listen to the old days when Chris and I used to podcast for nearly 5 years ago, a lot of it obviously was still in property, but a lot of it was this more mindset side, because it is so fundamental to anyone's success. It's getting your mind right, getting yourself in a position where you can actually design your life and who you want to become. And all of these skills really layer up to help you with that.
Totally. I would go one step further. And I would actually say that if nothing changed except for the development, your personal evolution, if nothing else changed, if your financial circumstances didn't change, your living circumstances didn't change, if nothing else changed except you, your personal evolution, you know, this whole show and everything we do is about helping people to create a life of freedom, choice, and abundance. I would argue that you would achieve that freedom, choice, and abundance simply by evolving yourself, regardless of any of the other things, or at least you would go a really long way towards that, because your perception shapes your reality. And so if you can change the perception of how you're viewing the world, how you're showing up in the world, you may find that you already have everything that you need and want to live the life that you've already desired. Now, that doesn't change the fact that more financial abundance leads to more options, right? And those options can help you to greater align yourself with the vision you have of your own life, live more in alignment with your values and all of that kind of stuff. But it really starts with the you. Like, if you don't change, you, as I mentioned a second ago, you could achieve all the financial success in the world, but if you don't evolve on a personal level, you'll be miserable. You're not gonna buy your way to happiness. They say money doesn't buy happiness, and that's kind of true. But what money can give you is the options to live more in alignment with your values. But you have to become the kind of person that will be happy when you're in that environment. Otherwise, it's a moot point anyway, which is why I'm super excited to do this. And I'm super excited to do more of these episodes with you, Gabby, over the coming, you know, weeks, months, years, as we start to dig into this stuff too. Because at the core, if you can baseline assume that you can make good enough decisions to achieve financial prosperity, which again, you know, if you work with Dashdot, that's going to happen. So then you've got to ask yourself, well, what happens when we get there? What happens when we get there? So I'm super excited to dig into this, because one of the things that I've been thinking about a lot lately, I say lately, over the last, say, 6 months, is this concept of anti-fragility. And to kind of set us up for this, and then I want to ask you a couple of questions about it, Kevi, but to kind of set us up for this, antifragility is a concept that was coined by Nassim Nicholas Taleb. Now, Nassim Nicholas Taleb, he's a economics and financial markets writer. He wrote a book called The Black Swan, also Fooled by Randomness, a whole bunch of other stuff. He's a really smart dude. A lot of the stuff he writes is around sort of economics and stuff like that. But in this book, Antifragility, he talked about systems that get stronger the more pressure they're put under. And it's a really interesting concept. Now, again, in his book, it was kind of more framed around economic systems and stuff like that. But to kind of get a little bit of color to that, if you think about a glass, you know, like a wine glass, that's fragile. If you drop it off, knock it off the table, it's going to smash. If you think about a plastic tumbler, you knock it off the table, it won't smash, it'll bounce. So that's resilient, or that's durable in that context. But then if you have a system that if it got knocked off the table, the cup would actually get stronger, that is anti-fragile. That actually gets stronger the more pressure is put under. And again, in the context of how the book was originally written, it was written around economic systems. Well, what I like about this concept is how we can think about applying it to ourselves as individuals. Because when you really think about it, the human form, or people in general, that both mentally and physically, are actually designed to have anti-fragile characteristics. So, for example, if you want your muscles to get stronger, what do? Put them under stress. If you put your bones under stress, what happens? They get stronger. And the same thing goes for your mind. As long as you take the time to perceive it in the right way, because you could put yourself under stress, then not develop an anti-fragile mentality, and as a result, you could become weaker. Now, there's a big difference between resilience and anti-fragility, and I want to kind of touch on that, because a lot of people are like, I'm really resilient. Resilience is effectively your ability to withstand stress for a prolonged period of time. So that means you're able to put up with stress for a long period of time, but at some point you may still break. An anti-fragile system would actually get stronger the more stress that gets put on it, to a point that it becomes less breakable over time with that more stress, not just be able to put up with it. Does that kind of make sense? Do you think I've summed up the concept pretty well?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's the image that comes to mind, and you made a good analogy with the cup coming off the table. It's kind of like if you fall onto a trampoline, you fall onto the trampoline, you immediately bounce back up. If you have the ability to do that, that is amazing. And that is, in essence, resilience. But if you have the ability to, every time you fell, as you're bouncing back up, you are growing and getting stronger, and you can literally picture yourself developing bigger muscles as you're like bouncing back up the trampoline. That's in essence what anti-fragility is here. And I think that's really important, because a big part of it is, you know, it's the mindset. It's the people hear about having a growth mindset and might think, how do you actually go about doing that and producing that? And I think this skill of anti-fragility, it works in harmony with having a growth mindset. And it's about knowing that through adversity, anything that comes your way, you are going to come out stronger in some way. I'm not sure how that's going to look, but knowing that whatever situation you are in, that is how it's going to happen for you. If you feel that confident in yourself, that in essence is the mindset. That in essence is a growth mindset. That's the mindset that you need to have in order to develop yourself as an anti-fragile human.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. The thing is as well, like, this isn't just purely conceptual either. Like, this is kind of proven out in many ways. There's can I get a little nerdy for a second? Because so if you think about this in a different context, what it actually points to is the fact that you have non-Newtonian qualities. Okay. And so,
what do you mean by that?
Yeah. So for example, if you have there's an example of a non-Newtonian fluid, which is just particularly what I'm referencing, and it's called oobleck. OOBLECK, oobleck.
Yes, oobleck. Yep.
But this non-Newtonian fluid, so it's a liquid, or it has a kind of a liquid form, and the more pressure you put on it, the harder it gets. Yeah, and so like you hit it with a hammer, so it's just like it's a liquid, and if you touch it softly, it's still soft. But if you hit it with a hammer, it instantly goes really hard, right? And so there's also another really interesting example. I was doing a bit of research before this, by the way. There's a Marvel character called Strong Guy. That's his name, Strong Guy. You kind of mentioned this as well, that imagine if as the force gets put into you, you actually get stronger, and actually kind of made me think of Strong Guy. So Strong Guy's superpower is that when he gets hit, he then absorbs all that kinetic energy, and then he can use that. He becomes stronger because of it. So it's kind of like even the Incredible Hulk is kind of scared of Strong Guy, basically, because you know he knows that if he punches Strong Guy is going to be stronger, right? So it's this kind of feedback loop. And to your point, it becomes a really interesting growth mindset, because once you can get your head around that, and if you can accept and understand that you at a base level, you're enabled with the characteristics to be anti-fragile, then the responsibility is on you to then nurture that. Because if you don't nurture that, you can become fragile. So for example, just on a physical level, if you don't put your bones under stress, i.e. lift weights, run, do any of these kind of things, guess what happens? Your bones get weaker. And so you have, as you get older, you're more likely to experience osteoporosis. If you don't put your muscles under stress, even if you don't want to become a super bodybuilder, if you don't put your muscles under stress, guess what happens? They eventually get weaker, you have muscle atrophy, then you're not able to take care of yourself. And so there's a system where, left unattended, it does get weaker. However, if you choose consciously to apply stress, it gets stronger. And the same thing goes for your mindset as well. And so if you choose comfort over discomfort continuously, then what is going to happen is you will become weaker and effectively more fragile. However, if you choose discomfort, if you choose to seek out situations that make you uncomfortable, then you are far more likely to become stronger and also grow. Because on the other side of every discomfort is growth. That's specifically what happens. Every time you experience discomfort, you grow. And so I heard, I'm going to butcher this completely, but I heard someone say something like, aging is just a retreat to comfort, basically. So that you continuously over time choose comfort over discomfort. And as a result, you age faster because your body gets weaker, your mind gets weaker, and all of that kind of stuff. And so you see the 70, 80, 90 year olds that are fit and strong and all of that kind of stuff. Well, they've continuously chosen discomfort. And so doing this is that kind of growth mindset, because you're putting yourself into a situation where you're going to specifically choose to put yourself out of your comfort zone. And as a result, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, you will become a stronger individual.
Yeah. I think it's, that's awesome. That makes sense. I think there's also the concept of growth through chaos. And it's, we all at some point, if not all of us every day, go through chaotic situations or scenarios in life, our business, work, family stuff. There's some level of chaos that we're all going to come across. And if you can have this mindset of, how is this going to make me a stronger person? How am I going to come out of this stronger because of this? Not in spite of this, but because of this. And I'm using the force that I've experienced in this situation, and I'm going to use it to fuel me and make me stronger. That's really what we're talking about here. And, you know, I think, you know, through the pandemic years, a lot of people went through a lot of chaos, a lot of stress. Some people have come out strong, like feel more confident in themselves. Other people less so. And it's those choices of, how am I going to approach this? How am I going to use this? How am I going to come out the other side stronger? And it's that mindset of just like growth through chaos. How do I come out better because of this?
What that leads to, by the way, is an overall more optimistic worldview.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's this there's a clip by Jocko Willink. I came across it again yesterday, but it's a pretty famous clip of his where he talks about, there's a scenario when he was in the army, and it's like the whole kind of thing is basically like, your mission got canceled? Good. You didn't get the promotion? Good. Your wife left you? Good. You didn't get the whatever? Good. Everything is just good, right? He tells this story about how, you know, that applied in his kind of military context. And I think that as a baseline assessment of your circumstances is a fantastic position to be in. Because if you can view every scenario that you're experiencing as baseline good, right? So what that means is, when things are going good, you're like, this is good. Then when things, in inverted commas, go bad, you say, if you can get to a place where your first response is good, because you can see that through that, good things are going to happen. Either that is going to lead you on a path to the ultimate destination that you were supposed to arrive at, maybe not the one you thought you were going to arrive at, or this is going to make me stronger, right? So therefore, good. That means that there's basically no scenario in your life that can happen that you would then retreat to a place of like, woe is me, why is this happening to me, all of that kind of stuff. And what that does is that sets you up for significantly greater emotional resilience. So a lot of people, you know, in bringing this back to the context of investing as well, a lot of people in investing, they have a fear. Oh, what if I make the wrong decision? What if I buy a property and what if it goes down in value? What if
the market crashes?
What if the market crashes? Oh my God. What if I get tenants and they poo on the carpet or something? You know, like and that's a common fear, by the way. Once a week, someone asks. Somebody's like, what if the tenants poo on the carpet? Anyway, but, you know.
We have a whole handbook for like, this is what you do.
the step-by-step guide for tenant poo.
Anti-poo. Okay.
Anyway, so by the way, if you have an invested property, that's not a common problem. Just so we're all on the same page. But
maybe just our properties.
but it's this fear that holds people back. Now, it's not just in investing, but it's in life. Fear holds people back. Fear causes people to either make decisions poorly or make no decision, which is in fact a decision in itself and is also poor. However, if you could baseline just go, okay, well, whatever happens, it's going to be good. So I could invest in property. What if it crashes? Well, then I guess that would be good. And think of all the ways that would be good. Well, you would learn a lot. You would be forced to discover new parts of yourself. Even if you were hit financial hard times, you would be forced to try and find new ways to kind of deal with all of that. Like if you can just baseline go, good. Okay, even if the worst case scenario, good. Then all of a sudden, you transgress to a different state of being where you start to live without fear or doubt. Now, some people may have heard me bang on about this before, but the biggest transformational thing that I did in 2023 was to repeat to myself a very simple mantra. I live without fear or doubt. Now, I'm just going to give this a bit of airspace because it's one of the most powerful things that's happened to me, because as someone who, you know, is on the more anxious end of the spectrum of thinking about things, once I started to realize that I could live without fear, I started to ask myself the question, who would I be or who would I become if I had no fear and no doubt? What if I just accepted that everything was going to be good? Like, there's always all kinds of things going on in business, in real estate, in life, like, and there's all kinds of different things to be worried about. What if I just baseline assumed that it would all work out and whatever happens, it's going to be good? That means that I don't have to have the fear or the doubt anymore, which means that I get to let go of anxiety. I get to let go of all of this heaviness and then just start to be. In the last 12 months, I've been more in the present than I think I've ever been in my entire life. And I used to take all kinds of, you know, different things to try and help me manage my high levels of stress, you know, herbal supplements, ashwagandha, stuff like that. And nothing too crazy, right? I was a high stress individual, high cortisol levels, all of that kind of stuff. And over the last 12 months, it's really, really gone away in a major way because I've been able to let go of the fear and the doubt. Not perfectly, I'm not a saint, but what it's done is allowed me to far more frequently elevate myself to a place where I don't need to worry, because I know now through constant repetition that it's going to be good. Now, that gives you an emotional stability that allows you, whenever something big comes up, to not freak out, to just go, okay, cool, I guess here's one of those things. All right, let's just walk through it. And the second part of that, and then I want to give you a bit of airspace to talk about this emotional stability thing, Gabby, because I'd love to get your take on this specific angle. But the thing is that doesn't just set you up for challenging circumstances like, what if my business fails, or what if my property investment goes bad? Like, it doesn't just set you up for that, which it does set you up for that. But what it also enables you to do is to more confidently pursue more adventurous elements of your life. Like, what if you wanted to move to China? Like, what if all of these kind of things? And all of a sudden, the context of the edges of your life map start to fall away and everything becomes possible, because you can recognize that no matter what happens, the pathway that you can progress on is always going to be good, which means you don't need to live in this state of lack and lack of abundance and all that kind of stuff. And so the second order consequence of shaping that emotional stability is that you can choose to be braver, you can choose to be bolder, and you can live a more rich, more fulfilling, more adventure-filled life if that's what you want to do. So I'd love to get your take, Gabby, on the emotional stability element of that and how you kind of think about this.
Yeah, awesome. It's funny. There's two quotes or sayings that come to mind with that. So on that last piece, there's the phrase of, people asking themselves the question, what if I fail? And then flipping that to be, but what if you fly? And that's been a really big thing for me over the years is because I'm, similarly anxious person. I think a lot of people in society these days have a tendency towards anxiety. And we get caught in that spiral of fear and thinking about what could go wrong and what if I fall and what if I fail and all of this nonsense. And if you just pivot it and think, but what if I fly, and think through all of the beautiful things that could happen on the other side, if it all worked out, because there's actually no guarantee just because you're thinking about things going negatively that is any more likely to happen than the positive thing also happening. There's no more likelihood. It's just that we are biologically wired to detect fear more so than visions of success. Our biology is designed to keep us alive. It's not designed to keep us thriving. It's designed to make sure that we do not die. So if we detect any sense of fear, danger, anything, it will help us zero in on that. And so flipping that around and understanding that so that you can focus on the upside rather than letting it stop your evolution as a human and you working towards the goals and the vision that you have for your life because you're trapped in this fear and just staying stagnant, giving yourself the opportunity to actually move forward and become anti-fragile and use the things that are happening to you to move towards the bigger vision for your life. So that was one point. The other part of...
Can I add on to that before you go on to say, don't forget your second point because I want it, but...
Okay.
the thing you just mentioned about our body being programmed to keep us safe and stuff, it's not an equal weighting. So you kind of said if you think of two scenarios, one where it works out, one where it fails, it's no more likely that the failure one is going to be true. In fact, it's less likely because our brain is wired like between 2 and 8 times the threat level is kind of what it will generally kind of give us. So if you think, oh my God, this could happen, you've got to divide it by 50% or more to get to the real truth of like how bad could this actually be, because our brain is wired to overestimate how bad things could be as a safety mechanism by 2 to 8 times typically. So it's actually not even an even weighting on that. You'll have like, this could go great, fantastic. Or then your brain will be like, but this could be like 8 times worse than it might ever actually get. So I just wanted to raise that point that it's not an even distribution and we need to actively fight against our body's mechanism to tell us that it's bad.
Yeah, for sure. Wasn't sure if I was going to dive into this as much as I will, but here we go. So last August, this kind of situation came to a head for me personally. So last August, I was in a pretty rough mental state personally. And I was just overcome with fear. I don't know what it was, but there was a couple of months there where I would have panic attacks every day. I could barely work. There was something going on neurologically, wasn't a good time. And because at that point, I was letting this fear just completely consume me. And I've had to work really hard since then to build up this anti-fragility again, to realize that my body is trying to keep me safe and is trying to keep me focused on all of these things that I think are happening, all of these threats that I'm imagining. And remember that I can have a choice on where I actually put my focus and what I think is actually going to happen and where I actually want to go. And I have that choice. And so that's been my journey the last 6 or so months. I'm in a much better headspace now personally. I think Goosey can attest to that. And I actually think, and it's interesting thinking about the concept of anti-fragility, I actually think I'm probably in the best headspace that I've been in years now. And it's part of because I went through that. Like I went through that time really feeling like shit, really not knowing what the other side looked like if there was another side. And I've come out of it and I've gone, you know what? That happened for a reason and I can learn from that. And I feel much more positive and optimistic now than I've ever felt before. So I just wanted to share that because I think that's relevant, a relevant experience that I've gone through recently.
I think that's awesome. Thanks so much for sharing that. I think that's really cool and very brave of you to share that as well. But, and it's also, it's really interesting, right? Because maybe you could talk to this a bit as well. I want to talk about the compound rate and the exponentiality of this, but I also want to talk about the fact that you've got to choose your way forward, right? So you're now in a position where you're choosing things that are outside your comfort zone. Do you want to kind of talk to that and kind of talk about that a little bit? Because I think it's useful in this context to, you know, you're a real life example of it. So are you able to talk to that a little bit?
Yeah, we'll use the current example, right? I'm currently learning to ride a manual motorbike.
In Southeast Asia, by the way.
In Southeast Asia, because we live in Southeast Asia where it's notoriously crazy on the roads and whatever. On face value, that would seem pretty scary. To be honest, it is pretty intimidating. I'm doing my best to show up and push through that. It doesn't always work. There's definitely enough avoiding it because it's scary as shit. It's scary. And it's, you know, particularly as someone as a, you know, perfectionist, I like to be able to do things well on the first go. And so I'm struggling a little bit, not coming out of the gate, just being really good at it. And that's layering into the avoidance of it, I guess. But I'm still going to do it. Like, I'm still going to do it. I still see this vision of our life together, riding around the world on motorbikes. That's still who I want to be. And so I'm working through that now, that process of bridging that avoidance gap and developing this, again, this strength. That's like, I know that every time I sit on the bike and I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm giving it a go. I'm doing it safely, right? I'm not just like flying around all over the place. But every time I sit there in that discomfort, I'm developing this skill and this strength, not just literally, but mentally, and that confidence in myself that I'm a stronger person, that I can show up and I can do hard things and I can do this. And that gets applied to everything. You know, you have the skill that you developed literally, but then the internal skills and abilities that you cultivate by going through these experiences, you apply that to everything else. So that's just a little example of.
So what I'd like to add to that though is, it, you're continuously choosing to opt into it. So I multiple times, dear listener or viewer, I have multiple times said, hey, Gabby, you know what? We don't need to do this. Like, so we've got a vision that we want to do long distance travel on motorbikes, manual motorbikes. So that's the impetus for Gabby to learn this skill. But because it is scary, and of course, because, you know, I don't like to see my partner in fear and discomfort as well, right? So it's not great for me. So several times I've said, hey, we don't need to do this. We could do something else. But you, Gabby, keep opting back in, saying, no, that's the person I want to become. So I'm going to continue to choose to do it, even though it is scary and all that kind of stuff. And then going back to when you were a little unwell last year, you were in a state where you were choosing to not. You were choosing aversion of discomfort. And the thing is, when you choose aversion of discomfort, when you choose to retreat rather than expand, what happens is you get worse. You know, it's the same thing. It's like if you feel depression, what's the worst? What do you want to do? What do you want to do when you've got depression is you want to lay in bed with the curtains closed and not speak to anyone. What's the worst thing you could do if you have depression? Lay in the bed with the curtains closed and not speak to anyone. So your programming is going to program you to seek out the thing that on the face surface level gives you comfort, but on the macro will cause you catastrophic damage. And so the both have a compound rate. And this is something I want to kind of talk about as well, because it's easy to go, yeah, okay, cool. If I do this hard thing, I will get that one unit of betterness better. That is true on a micro, but as you continue to do that, every time you take another step, you're taking a step up from a higher already established base. So we think about compound rates in investing. You know, if your property grows by 7% a year, it's going to double in value in whatever it is, 10 years. Great, because it's not 7% every year based on the base value, it's 7% on the 7% on the 7% on the 7%. And so the same thing happens as you, in the first instance, when you start on this anti-fragility journey to become the best, greatest version of yourself, you may dream whatever the biggest, greatest, best version of yourself is. Let's say it's some swashbuckling billionaire that's venturing away. Let's say Richard Branson. Let's just put Richard Branson, right? I want to be like Richard Branson. You might go, but I'm here and he's there. There's no way. There's no way. I can't do that. But then through small actions of continuously pushing yourself out of your comfort zone and becoming more and more anti-fragile, what will happen over time is you will compound into the person that you want to become much faster than you probably ever believed possible at the start. Now, at the start, when we started our journey from, you know, even from before we started Dashdot, when we started on this journey of trying to create more freedom, choice, and abundance in our own lives, because of where we were, our worldview on what success looked like is it's so fractional in compared to what even our life is today. You know, because we didn't know how to dream big, because of the current state we were in, it was like, I can't even remember, but let's just say it was like, imagine if we could earn $100,000 in a year. Wow. You know, like when we started Dashdot, it was imagine if we could help 10 people. Oh my God, that'd be crazy. Imagine if we helped 10 people. And now, you know, now it's thousands that we have and will continue to, and we want to continue to help. And so these things compound up and your vision grows, but it's the specific process of taking one step up the ladder each and every time, and it goes exponential. So then all of a sudden, what feels like slow progress becomes extremely rapid progress. And all of a sudden, you look around and you say, Jesus, what the hell has happened to me? I'm like a superhero compared to who I was when I started this journey just not that long ago. And so I think it can be really exciting, and it should give people the ability to then start to dream bigger and think about how they can change their lives around that.
It's so true, because we're coming up to Dashdot's fifth birthday, so 5 years in this business, and I think back to who you and I were when we started, and obviously we had the challenge of we didn't know what was possible, so we didn't have a very clear, huge, dream bigger vision at that point. But you have as big a vision as you can possibly imagine at that point, and then you grow into it and you expand the vision, and it's a continuous process of expansion. But the amount of growth and anti-fragility that we have required through this whole process of growing this business and getting it to the scale that we're at only 5 years in, we're radically different people from who we were at the start. And that's every single situation, pretty much every day, we get exposed to some other kind of situation where it's uncomfortable. There's risks we need to take. There's decisions we need to make that we're not sure how it's going to go. There's things we need to do, when problems we need to solve. There's all these situations that are that chaotic sense that I was talking about that fuel growth. And I think a big part of, Dashdot success, it's not just us, but like everyone in our team goes through this similarly. And I think it's a big part why our culture is as strong as it is. It's because we're encouraging everyone to go through this process independently as well. And that creates amazing things, We've created such amazing success so far, and hopefully we'll continue to for many, many years, partly because of this process, because every day we're all exposing ourselves to these like, shit, what do we do now? Oh, how do we do this? Oh, how do we make this better? Well, this situation is interesting. But adopting that and knowing that we can get through it and knowing that we can go through something and come out stronger because of it. And so, yeah, I just think it's a super relevant reflection on our journey so far.
I was actually thinking about this this morning, as partly in the context of this podcast. I thought about the things that have happened. It's currently a Thursday as we record this. The things that I have had to contend with since Monday of this week. Lots.
Yeah.
Me 1 year ago probably wouldn't have been able to handle it. Me 1 year ago, and that there's at least three really significant things that have come onto my plate this week, which me a year ago probably would have been, the cortisol would have been pumping. I probably would have been losing sleep and all of that kind of stuff. Me 3 years ago, I don't know what I would have done. But my ability to, now, it's just part of dealing with things. Like I don't even, whatever, these are, okay, cool. What's the solution? Let's get on with it. And, my stress levels aren't, I may have frustration around a few things, right? but it's not adversely affecting me. And the reason for that is because of the compound rate of anti-fragility. I also just want to touch on the chaos thing, and I want to talk about some practical ways that people can start to seek this out for themselves, because it's such a huge benefit. If people can really lean into this, as I said at the start, your ability to create the life of freedom, choice, and abundance has got less to do with the amount of money you make and more to do with your own personal evolution. So the chaos thing is really, really interesting. And part of the reason that I prefer to live in developing countries or to spend time in developing countries is actually because of the chaos. Is actually because it is less sterile. Like, you know, like it's just a little bit more, you know, unpredictable.
Wacky.
Yeah, it's just a little more unpredictable. And it's the nature of that that forces continuous personal evolution. That that the thing you wanted, you might not be able to get. And even if someone, you know, whatever, you could order a meal and it just not get here. Or just like little simple things, right? And so through that process of continuously putting yourself in environments which challenge your ability to have that comfort on tap, that's the thing that continues to drive the growth. That's specifically why I've always been drawn to my whole life, since I was 18 years old, I've preferred to be in developing countries, because it just keeps you on that edge of, it's not reasonable for me to be frustrated that I didn't get the thing that I thought that I was going to get. Why? Because, well, I'm not in an environment where that level of certainty is a reasonable expectation to have. So therefore, I need to become a better person in order to manage through that. You look like you have something to say.
No, it's so interesting, because I've been reflecting on that recently as well. I'm like, why do I love living in Southeast Asian places? Because it's madness. A lot of the time it's madness. There's scooters everywhere. There's no one follows any rules. There's kind of guidelines. There's barely lane lines. Like, it just rides wherever. And I mean, I just love it. You and I both love it. And you're right. I think maybe that's an element of it. It's that every single time something a little bit chaotic happens, it's an opportunity for us to grow. And it's like a little test for us as individuals of how do I approach this? And it's interesting, because we're inherently really optimistic people. I was thinking about this when I was scooting around yesterday. Part of why I think we suit this lifestyle is because we're optimistic, and because, like, if someone cuts you off, you just kind of like laugh. You don't get mad about it. You just kind of, and it, I think we've built that into our psyche so much that that just becomes the automatic response. Whereas a lot of people would get mad. Like, ah, oh, you cut me off, and you see it on videos of people traveling around other countries.
They get mad because they expected it to be different.
Because their expectations are
Because they expect a certain level of certainty. This shouldn't happen because of X. Whereas if you start to expect uncertainty, then when it happens, you'll be like, ha-ha, look, there it is. There it is again, the uncertainty. So let's wind that into how you can actually start to develop anti-fragility, because it's a great idea. And not everyone has to move to Southeast Asia, by the way. You know, you don't have to move to Southeast Asia. And, you know, I don't want to start a drove of people all moving to Thailand because it's the best place to live. So just, you know, so stay where...
But it's the best place to live.
Stay somewhere that's not just done. Anyway, but the point is, you don't have to, it's not practical for everyone to uproot their life, right? So, and some people just don't want to. But the process of doing that, the process of putting yourself into an environment where your level of expectation has to change and your level of comfort has to change. Like, so for example, several times I've woken up and there's no water running in our place. It's like, okay, looks like there's no water today. Got it. Okay. I find that really interesting. But you kind of put yourself into these states of discomfort. And the reason that is useful is because it's kind of helped to develop the anti-fragility. But like, what are some ways, Gabby, that you can think of that people could do that? I mean, I could think of, like, if you're scared of public speaking, then, you know, go do some public speaking. Like, that's like, you know, that's like one way of thinking about it. But what other ways would you think of?
Yeah, I guess it's like, it's, I think in therapy, it's called exposure therapy. It's like, if there's something that you're afraid of, one of the probably main ways that you can solve that is actually through controlled exposure to that thing. And the key piece there being the controlled exposure, and it's managing these controlled stressful situations. It's not just like throwing yourself out of a plane, even maybe that's the thing you're afraid of, but it's not going completely mad and just throwing yourself into things and like actually unsafe. It's having these controlled little experiments where you're exposing yourself to this thing that you're afraid of. And obviously that will help you to develop, to remove that fear of that thing. But like I was saying earlier, it's more about the psyche and about developing that internal skill and confidence in yourself that you can do things that you're afraid of. And over time, again, the skill and the thing that you're afraid of will get easier and better. But that internal skill of resilience and anti-fragility will build up over time instead. And so I think that's that's really the main strategy that I would approach. Again, there's also just the mindset piece where if something happens to you, asking yourself, how can this be a good thing? And it's not being naive. And I think this is where some people might misinterpret this, and I really hope that doesn't happen. But it's not naively thinking, oh, well, it's all going to work out and blah, blah, blah. But it's actually just thinking, how can this be a good thing for me? Like, how can I come out the other side of this and feel stronger and more confident in myself? And just trying to adopt that whenever something happens in your life, because it'll happen.
Mm. So I like that. What that kind of sounds a lot, particularly the first part of what you said, not so much the second part, is kind of like, think of the things that you're scared of and then find a way to tackle them. So it could be scared of public speaking, or it could be scared of spiders or something like that. And I agree that in this context, that's useful, because what you're going to be doing is then you're going to be building up these muscles that you can take on things that are scary. But also, in a different context, a lot of people have unrecognized fears. So fears of becoming the person that they really dream of. So for example, it could be that maybe you really want to become an investment banker, but you're scared to start the process of applying to the university to go and study the thing or whatever, right? And so there's these kind of barriers that we put onto ourselves that we're scared that if we try and do something that we believe will take us to our destination and we fail at that thing, that means that we will never reach our destination. Therefore, we don't do the thing that would take us there. Therefore, we guarantee that we don't reach the destination. And so what I would, as it's sort of slightly different angle, is not just think of all the things you're scared of, but think of all of the most bombastic, I like that word, bombastic things that you can think of. What is your most radical and amazing life look like? So, for example, I've recently started playing around with the idea of getting a pilot's license, which is crazy to me, like flying a plane, like what the hell, But think of all of the craziest things that you might want in the absolute best version of yourself. I like to think of, anyone familiar with like the most interesting man in the world, the Dos Equis kind of ads. Like, what would the most interesting man in the world, what would he do? I want to start thinking about that kind of stuff. So think of the craziest things. It could be like when you're thinking about the best version of yourself, like the future you that's just so enriched and so fulfilled. Maybe it's scuba diving, right? Maybe that's something that you do, that you travel the world scuba diving and diving with whales or something like that. So maybe that's something that you could then get to go lean into and go, okay, well, I don't know how to scuba dive, and it's going to make me uncomfortable to learn, and I'm going to be in an environment where I don't know, and it's kind of scary because it's new and all of this kind of stuff. So think about all of those things and then start to lean into it. What I like about that approach is it's not just strengthening you against your fears, which is good, but it's also compounding you towards your goals. It does both, because it's scary, stressful, it might be hard, you might have to make sacrifices, you might have to go through a lot of challenges, etc., to get to the thing, but then you'll start to compound up towards the life that you want. And so really thinking that through, because doing hard things just for the sake of doing hard things has merit. I will say it has merit. But if you can do hard things that specifically take you towards the type of person that you know that you can be, then the benefit is not just that you did something hard. You did something hard and took a step into your future as
towards
well.
Your goal. Yeah.
Which I like.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I just expand on that for a sec?
Go for it.
I just want to add some practicality in there, because I've gone through this exercise many times, right, where you create this bombastic vision of who you want to become and the vision for your life. And you might end up with 10 different things that, the future me can do that current me cannot currently do. So how do you prioritize those 10 things? I think that you should start with the hardest thing first. So like the scariest thing, the biggest thing out of those list of activities that you feel like you get the most emotional charge out of, and focus on that, because the flow on effects that will come, like we've been talking about, in the confidence that you build, that will just, it becomes that first domino. It sets it up for all of the other things that you want to develop, and this evolving yourself to be the kind of person that does the things that you're afraid of. And so that, I just wanted to add that little bit of practicality in there, because we probably all got 20 different things that we all want to pile on, but how do you fit that in life, and how do you do that? What order do you do that in? So
yeah, I think that's good. I think there's heaps. We could probably do a whole episode on how to manage your way to your ideal life as well. I want to just do a little kind of grammatical correction, because I used the word bombastic because I felt like it was bombastic.
Isn't the wrong word.
So bombastically basically means like inflated, which is kind of like big and inflated, which was the kind of context. But it actually means inflated, but probably not true. Like a politician might be full of hot air. They'll have a bombastic rhetoric or something like that, where they'll talk about all this big shit that'll never happen and all that kind of stuff. So what I actually meant was the bombastic, the action, but actually the doing the stuff, right? So we just a little public service announcement there that I picked the wrong word. Sounded good though at the time.
Oh, and I used it too.
Yeah, I know. That's why I thought someone will call us out in the comments. They'll be like, "You idiots don't even know what bombastic means." And it's like,
get a dictionary, guys.
I did get the dictionary, and if you're about to type that, I just worked out that you're correct. But the most grandiose vision of your life is probably a better way to think about it that you can go into. So,
cool.
Gabby, do you think we've nailed this?
I do. I think, you know, I like these topics, and I think you and I can speak about these for a long while. And I hope that it's coming across and you're getting some value from listening to it, because hopefully you can tell we're pretty passionate about trying to help you to develop as a human. And obviously talk a lot about property on this show, but as you said at the start, because it's not so much about property in terms of life, it's about developing you as a human and helping you to achieve the ultimate vision of your life. And I think all of these conversations that we're hopefully going to have over the coming years and months are going to help to facilitate that. So, no, I think we did well.
Love it. Well, on that note, let's leave it there. If you have found this episode useful and you're going to become more anti-fragile, and if you know someone else in your life who you think could do with becoming a little more anti-fragile too, why don't you share this episode with them? It would mean the world to us. It would also help us to grow our reach and our ability to impact more people just like you. So make sure you hit the subscribe button on whatever platform you're on, and make sure you hit the share button, share this with somebody else that you like, and the like button. And of course, if you are listening or watching this on a platform that enables comments, why don't you leave us a little comment? Let us know what you think, and we'll get back to you on that as well. But until next time, stay awesome and stay powerful, and we'll see you soon.